The Philippines will roll out its COVID-19 vaccination program for children aged 5 to 11 years old on February 4th. A global body for nurses says rich nations are hoarding healthcare workers amid this pandemic. The late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., won't be making public his statement of assets, liabilities, and net worth if he wins this year's presidential race. And for In Focus, we'll be joined by presidential contender Senator Pánfilo Lacson. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. He was trained to follow orders, follow the chain of command. First as a young police officer in the Metrocom Intelligence Security Group during the Marcos dictatorship. He eventually became a lieutenant colonel, and soon enough, he worked his way up, landing the much coveted post of Chief of the Philippine National Police. But Pánfilo Lacson, the law enforcer, wanted to be more. He became a lawmaker, winning a Senate seat in 2001. And there he exposed corruption in government in numerous inquiries and crafted laws. Between him and his running mate, Senate President Vicente Soto III, the legislative experience is unparalleled. But is that enough to make him commander-in-chief? Let's talk about his past, the personal and his plans for the country. In Focus today, Senator Pánfilo Lacson. First to declare his bid for the presidency, first on In Focus. Welcome to the program, Mr. Senator.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina, and thank you for having me.
All right, so first off, why do you think it's important to subject yourself to interviews such as the one we're about to have?
Well, we can inform the people what qualifications I have, the experience that I've had, and other things that people may not know about me. So this is very important. And that's why I'm very thankful that you have invited me to be your guest on your program today.
Media, though, is adversarial. What is your perception of media?
Well, I've been at the receiving end for the longest time since I became a senator of the Republic way back in 2001. And this is an open book, from 2001 all the way hanggang 2009, I really suffered, and media was unfortunately part of my misery.
So then how do you deal with the adversarial nature of media, Mr. Senator?
Well, nothing can substitute for the truth, and as a matter of fact, as we speak, the truth, the saying goes, set me free. No, for that matter, because there are two very controversial issues thrown at me. No, three actually. No, earlier on in 2001, even before I served as a senator, after winning the elections, I was bombarded with so many issues: money laundering, illegal drugs, and so many other. Including the kitchen sink. No, but somehow those involved. Or those used by the administration, the past administration, recanted and even apologized publicly. So I think even a major broadsheet, a major newspaper, issued a public apology, admitting that they really committed an error in buying all the stories, the false stories peddled by paid hacks like Adorma Wanay, Rosebud. Now, where are they? Adorma Wanay has been arrested anew for other scams, other crimes. So with Rosebud,
Mr. Senator,
I'm vindicated in that regard.
Mr. Senator, at any given point during those episodes in your past, did you ever try to control media, to pay anyone, to talk to anyone, to control your narrative?
No, I never did. That was my fault, because I thought all the incredible accusations thrown at me, walang maniniwala. And that was my fault. I only realized that when in the elevator in the Senate, si Senator Pimentel, the late Senator Nenny Pimentel, called my attention. Sabi niya sa akin, "Ping, sagutin mo yung mga binabato sa iyo kasi tumatalab." And I felt it, because I myself, there came a time that I, when I would enter a restaurant, it seemed that people were talking about me. There was, after looking at me, they were whispering to each other. So sabi ko, mukhang tama nga. And so, you know, defying the norms, the practice, ang briefing sa amin, because we were neophytes, ang sabi sa amin ng mga dinatnan na mga senators, ano, Blas Ople, Ed Angara, even Tito Soto. Ang sabi sa amin, mga bagito kayo, huwag kayong magkamaling tumayo sa floor. Mag-observe muna kayo for 3, 4, 6 months, ano, before you even attempt to stand on the floor, because you will be subjected to, you know, parang baptism of fire, so to speak. You will be interpolated. But, you know, because of the accusations, the false accusations, and the advice given by the late Senator Nenny Pimentel, I was forced to deliver my first privilege speech. I remember August 7, no? Because Congress opened, I think, in 2001, in July 23 or 27. Mm-hmm. So, parang within a month, I was forced to take the floor, deliver a privilege speech, ang title nga doon, In Defense of My Honor and Dignity. And indeed, I was subjected to interpolations, ano? Talagang massive interpolations from the majority senators, members of the majority, because they ran under Gloria, no? Or under the party of the sitting president at that time. Eh kami ko konti lang, ako lang yung nakalusot, Senator Angara, myself, and Senator Loy Ejercito. Tatatlo kami doon. But, you know, I stood on the floor. I took the floor and delivered that speech to defend my honor and dignity. But it took a while. It took a long time before I was vindicated.
In fact, hanggang ngayon, Mr. Senator, and we're going to talk about that later, people are still talking about those episodes in the past. But before we get into that, I want to know what you think about criticisms, Mr. Senator.
I always welcome criticisms as long as you have truth on your side, no? There's nothing wrong, because after all, at the end of the day, sabi ko nga, yung truth ang lalabas at lalabas. And it has been proven, at least in my own personal experience, ano, even yung Corotong Balileng, even yung Dacer Corbito, no, lahat sila, Cesar Mangkaw, for example, lumabas siya and publicly apologized and admitted that he was forced by the past administration to do me in, no, to incriminate me falsely. Lahat naman lalabas eh. But we just don't know when. But ako, lagi akong confident na when truth is on your side, lalabas at lalabas yung totoo.
Did you ever at one point talk to Ador Mawanay, Victor Corpus, Cesar Mangkaw to tell them to tell the truth, your version of the truth, Mr. Senator?
No. At least Victor Corpus came up to me, no? He visited me in my office. Sinamahan siya ng kanyang classmate, kasi class 67 sa PMA, si General Corpus. Ako 71. Hindi nga kami nag-abot. But you know, a certain Colonel Cordero, who worked with me as a consultant do sa Yolanda Rehabilitation, class 67. So he called me one morning, and sabi sa akin, baka pwedeng samahan ko si Victor Corpus, kasi medyo nagsisisi siya. Mukhang nagamit talaga siya. But that was 2013 or 2014 for that matter. Because I was appointed December 2013. So in 2014, or even after that, no, I'm sorry. Sabi ko, yes sir, welcome. Because, you know, ako hindi naman ako nag-harbor ng ill feelings eh. And kung in all humility, pupunta siya rito and ask for forgiveness, apologize for the things that he had done in the past. Sabi ko, welcome. So he did. Pumunta sa aking opisina si General Corpus, and very talagang ang basa ko sa niya, very sincere, nagsisisi siya. Sabi niya, I've been had, you know, si Adam Mawanay.
So at any given point, Mr. Senator, given the position of influence, given the influence that you have as a former PNP chief, as a former intelligence officer, never did you reach out to these people to try to persuade them to tell the truth?
No, never. Hindi ko ugali yun eh.
All right.
Sila lumapit sa akin. Cesar Mangkaw, for example, when he recanted his statement and issued the apology, pinuntahan pa ako ng mother niya at saka nung misis niya. Kasi yung mother ni Cesar Mangkaw used to be a campaigner in Davao nung tumakbo ako ng 2001. So, nagpunta sa office, ang sabi ko na lang, kasi I was not in the office that time, sabi ko sa staff ko, sabi mo, never mind, because I have already forgiven Cesar Mangkaw. So I don't need to talk to her. Basta sabihin na lang, pakirelay na lang, na napatawad yung na si Cesar Mangkaw. Ador Mawanay, I never had the chance before, during, and after. The only time that I saw Ador Mawanay was during a committee hearing na ako yung inibisigahan. Not necessarily ako, but money laundering and so forth and so on. I just saw him in the gallery. No, nandun, nakatingin sa akin. You know, he was claiming that, you know, nagbabalot daw siya ng shabu doon sa loob ng office ko sa chip, ng GPNP, dinadala sa Green Hills, 15 kilograms, nasa backpack, and so forth and so on. But I never knew that guy. I don't know him from Adam. And even as we speak, that was the first and only time that I saw him. Kasi nagkataw, nandun sa gallery. Hindi nga siya resource person eh, nakamasid lang.
All right, Mr. Senator, we do have a lot of questions to go through. But first, I want to ask you, point blank, who used these people? Who used these people
obviously,
to be against you?
Obviously, President Arroyo, even Mike Arroyo, and those who were close to him or close to her at that time. You know? I can mention names because, you know, somebody approached me. This was long after I was vindicated, you know. I think this was in 2007 or if I'm not mistaken, or 2007 or 2016. Later on, tinanong ko sa kanya kasi alam ko na ando siya sa inner circle.
Sino po ito?
I won't mention anymore. Ano? But guaranteed no, na talagang nasa inner circle. Nagkaroon ng falling out. So tanong ko lang sa kanya, attorney, bakit nyo ginawa sa akin? Bakit ako yung napag-initan nyo? Alam mo sagot sa akin, Carmina? Because in 2001, they were looking at the landscape, yung politi, yung horizon. And they and unfortunately, sabi sa akin, nakita ka namin as a potential competitor in 2004. So as early as 2001, when Mrs. Arroyo took power, ang iniisip niya kagad nila is 2004. And problema ko, because you know, I was rating very high sa mga surveys noong year 2000. Ang last survey na nakita ko, December 2000, chief PNP ako. You know, I was even ranking or rating higher than most cabinet secretaries. Ang taas. And then when I ran in 2001, nakita nila, pumasok na ako sa politika. It's all politics. It was all politics.
All right. A while ago, Mr. Senator, we were talking about criticisms. You say you welcome criticisms. Then why do you resort to blocking on Twitter? This Twitter user, May Galan, says she is not a troll and was trying to engage you in a civilized manner, but you blocked her. How will you explain that?
Yun, nagbablock ako pagka nonsense at saka obviously wala namang motive kundi mang-asar, manira. Why would I engage them in a conversation? But you know, I also do engage with the sensible tweets or sensible messages. Hindi naman lahat binablock ko eh. Yung iba talagang in-engage ko, nagkaroon kami ng thread, ano? Parang extended thread pa nga yung iba. But you know, they should leave it to me. Ako yung nagdi-discern, ako yung nagdi-decide kung worthwhile ba na makipag-engage sa conversation. Nang alam ko naman yung motibo, very clear na mang-asar, mang-inis. Eh pag nainis pa ako, baka alam mo na, baka mamaya yung unguarded moments, eh lalong debacle yun. So I'd rather be quiet, keep quiet, and just block. You know, as we speak, alam mo, binabasa ko yung mga na-block ko yung bilang, 3,000 plus. Followers ko sana yon, but followers, just to make asar.
So you're guarding yourself against unguarded moments. Bakit po, Mr. Senator, paano ho ba kayo pag magalit, pag maasar? Kailangan ho ba kayong katakutan?
Hindi naman. Ayoko lang yung, i-expend ko yung energy ko on worthless endeavors or worthless conversations.
But what do you, how do you...
Marami akong trabahong dapat gawin, Carmina, kaysa ganun. I tweet because I want to inform people kung ano yung, ano yung position ko on certain issues. Ano? Very seldom na rin ako mag-tweet eh.
How do you define, Mr. Senator, what is worthless and what is worthwhile?
Well, it is upon my discernment. Ano? Please leave it to me. Kasi I would know. Mabasa ko pa lang yung tweet, opening pa nga lang, alam ko, talagang hindi worth na sagutin.
Mr. Senator, you've been consistent in your messaging as a crime fighter. Your aim is to eradicate corruption. We're going to talk more about that later. But you also say that you saved the government money. Nasaan na ba ngayon? Magkano na po ang halaga?
Well, noong hindi ako conscious eh. But then my staff, you know, they did some research, you know.
Because
and since 2001,
2.4, yeah.
Since 2001, for 18 years, na legislator ako, nag-estimate sila. Kinapaan nila lahat yung mga nabara ko na mga insertions, yung tinanggal ko from the agencies. Tapos na, ang they came up with a figure, more or less na sa mga 300 billion pesos. Ano? Hindi
right.
pa kasama dyan yung hindi ko kinukuhang pork barrel at saka yung potentially, yung pwede kong i-insert. Kasi alam mo, yung pork barrel, hindi na yan 200 million a year. Pag sinama mo insertions, at least 500 million per legislator na yan.
Here's the thing, though, Mr. Senator. When we talk about your pork barrel, the pork barrel money that you didn't get, wouldn't you have done more for the country if you had put that to good use?
No. Because talagang ano yan eh, yung pork barrel system, you know, it is not bad per se. No? Sa US nga, tawag dyan earmarks eh. Pero how can I, you know, ako nag-insert din ako eh. Naggagawa rin ako amendments. Pero talagang lahat institutional amendments. Meaning, say, DOST, alam kong kailangan nila ng money, ng additional funding for research and development or the ICT or even other agencies, so for that matter, DepEd. Nag-insert ako, pero nag-amend ako, pero institutional. Pag nag-amend ka ng panggawa ng kalsada, pag nag-amend ka ng pang-livelihood, meaning soft, ano, na alam naman natin na hihingal lang ng komisyon, yun ang ayoko. Because there's misuse and abuse of the national budget. No? Yun nga lang, ano, alam mo, Carmina, yung for the past 10 years, sa pag-scrutinize ko ng budget kasama yung mga staff ko, alam mo yung unused appropriations, yung average per year, 328 billion pesos. Why? Because there's poor planning. Yung, di ba, yung budget process, ito yung preparation, authorization, ito yung congressional action, ano, or involvement. Tapos yung implementation, and then yung accountability. Sa planning pa lang or sa preparation, ang dami ng mali eh. Kasi nga, ang budget system natin, yung kaya kasama ito sa platform namin ni Senate President Soto, yung budget reform, pag-uwi natin sistema, instead of imposing a budget ceiling, no, to all the agencies, ano, doon nawawala ng planning kasi bibigyan halimbawa, okay, DPWH hanggang 600 billion kayo for the following year, succeeding year. So anong gagawin ng DPWH? And for that matter, and the other agencies, lalampasin nila yung kasi tawaran yan eh pagdating sa DBCC, yung para i-prepare yung tinatawag na National Expenditure Program or the President's Budget. So, nagkukumahog sa planning, hindi na masyado na pag-aralan. Ang budget reform namin is zero-based. Ito yung practice ng mga big corporations. Even Singapore, ganun ang ginagawa nila. Bottom-up. So, it will come from the LGUs, from the barangays, municipalities, cities, provincial, all the way up to the RDC. No. And then yung RDC will submit to the DBCC. Tapos they will start, yung the agencies, the implementing agencies will start, you know, defending each and every PPA, meaning projects, programs, activities. Yun yung dapat i-defend. One by one. Ganyan sa big corporations, kaya nga judicious ang spending nila at hindi nasasayang yung budget. Sa atin, tapos pagdating pa sa Congress, kanya-kanya pang insertions, again, without any consultation with the implementing agencies. So mayroong disconnect. The agencies would not know how to implement the projects introduced by legislators. Kasi wala man lang consultation na ito ipapasok na dito.
Yeah, sorry to cut you there, Mr. Senator. But real talk now, do you think you'll be able to implement those reforms? And do you think Congress would actually allow that? Because you're going to choke their funding. Those who have been using and misusing the funds of this country, they're going to have a hard time with those reforms that you just mentioned.
Yes, I can. Because the National Expenditure Program is within the jurisdiction of the executive branch. We will change the system, at least in the preparation of the budget. Ano? Instead of budget ceiling, ang unang reform is zero-based budgeting. You defend each and every program, activity, and project that you will implement. Because after all, babalik sa inyo yung implementation.
Mas magiging mabilis mo ba yan? Because yun din ang nagiging problema sa current system natin po. Masyadong mabagal.
No, mabilis. Mabilis yan. Kasi manggagaling yan sa local government units. Anong nangyayari? Nagkaroon ng, alam mo yung culture of mendicancy? Kasi nangyayari yung mga barangay chairman, mayors, even governors, pag-budget season, pag-budget deliberation, before the pandemic, puno yung hallways namin. May dala mga folders. Kasi hindi napansin yung kanilang pin-repair na local development plans. Di ba dapat ang essence, yung core? After all, saan ba pupunta yung mga projects na i-implement? Sa mga local government units din. But then, wala silang participation. Though there's a great disconnect between the needs and priorities of the local government units, especially the far-flung areas. Kaya mga fifth-class municipalities, walang pag-asa na makaangat na maging third or fourth or second class man lang. Kasi hindi sila napapansin. And they're not included in the budget preparation. Yun ang problema. Okay, yun ang aalisin natin yung disconnect.
Senator, I want to talk about your past now. Yesterday you tweeted this. Let's go to the tweet that you sent out yesterday, saying how much you value your integrity. But this integrity now, Mr. Senator, is still being hounded by your past. Why can't you seem to shed those episodes? You mentioned it a while ago. You were linked to the Curatong Baleling robot case, the Deser Corbito case, Mr. Senator. Why can't you move past that? Or why can't people seem to move past that?
Well, hindi ako yung hindi makamove past that. Ano? Yung media and yung mga critics ko, yung mga galit sa akin, they keep harping on those issues. Tapos na yun eh. Yung Curatong Baleling, 3 times na na-dismiss yan. Different levels. Ano? Yung Deser Corbito, sabi ko nga nag-public apology na si Mangkaw. At sinabi ang punot dulo kung bakit ako na-incriminate. Pinilit lang siya. Sabi nga ng Court of Appeals noong ni-reverse yung probable cause finding, di ba sinabi? Flip-flopping. Para bang ang dami niya nang sinabi, hindi maintindihan kung anong totoo. And eventually, sinabi niya, kasi wala ba ito sa akin, Carmina? Kaya sinabi ko, my most prized possession, yung aking integridad. Yun din ang most valuable inheritance ko from my parents, especially from my mother.
Mr. Senator, let's talk about when you fled the country because of the Deser Corbito case. Ang sabi niyo po, noong po ako ay umalis, wala pa akong warrant of arrest, wala akong vinayulate kasi wala akong hold departure order. Senator, it was perfectly legal, but was it right?
Yeah, it was legal. It was right because that's the option that I took. Ano? Because nagkataon lang, magaling yung aking lawyer. At nagkataon lang, swerte ko, siya yung lawyer noong bagong jurisprudence. Because I did not even know that. Ano? Because before that, ang alam kong jurisprudence, pag na-issue ka ng warrant of arrest, kailan magpasailalim ka ng physical custody ng mga, say, BJMP or PNP. Magpasailalim ka ng legal custody ng court. But it changed already. Nagkaroon ng bagong jurisprudence. I think it's Tulyao case. Ano? Na kung saan, even if the accused becomes scarce, pwede mag-file ng mga pleadings, pwede umandar yung kaso. Masama ba if I took that option? Kesa naman sa, you know, makita kong ngingiti-ngiti yung mga nagpe-persecute sa akin dahil nakitang nandun ako sa likod ng rehas na bakal. You know, not for a second, you know.
But Senator, if other people follow your lead, you said that it's their right. And you also said that you will have law enforcers go after them. Aren't you concerned about the numerous cat and mouse games that will happen then? What will happen to law and order kung marami pong sumunod sa inyo?
Well, it's the job of the PNP, of the law enforcement units, to look for those people, to look for me. No? And if they caught me, so be it. It was my fate. But what I'm saying is I did not get out of the criminal justice system. At the time that I took that option, perfectly legal. And you said, was it right? Yes. I thought it was right. It was a judgment call on my part because I did not violate maski ano yung sa rules of court or kung ano yung batas. Because yun ang umiral na batas eh. Iba yung situation, Carmina, kung halimbawa wala yung jurisprudence na yon. Catch 22 ako. And then, kung gano'n na nangyari, doon ako mag-iisip kung ano yung gagawin ko moving forward.
Senator, these were the words.
Available. Yeah.
Senator, these were the words that you used to defend yourself. You said you only made yourself scarce instead of evading arrest. You called it political harassment. You even used the words fugitive of injustice instead of justice. Senator Lacson, is this your way of sanitizing your narrative, your past?
No. I was, in fact, a victim of injustice. And I was proven right. Hindi ba injustice yon na merong nandun yung mga powerful, mga top officials of government, na uutusan yung isang dati kong tauhan, mag-imbento, mag-fabricate, just to do me in. Ang purpose lang naman nila noon, para makulong lang ako, hindi naman para makonvict eh. Makulong ako, mabulok ako sa kulungan, and you know how justice, the wheels of justice grind. Napakabagal. Yun lang naman ang alam kong purpose eh. Because they knew, even at that time, because nag-iisa yung, nag-iisa evidence nila, flimsy pa nga eh. So basta maisip lang ako ng warrant to pares, okay na sila. Masaya na sila.
What do you tell then those people who don't have the same resources as you have to evade arrest?
Well, it's their call, ano? Kung alam nila yung jurisprudence, it's their call. It's their, you know, judgment call nila, as I had my judgment call at that time because available sa akin yung information. Ano? Hindi naman kailangan ng malaking resources eh. Kasi kung meron ng mga taong tumutulong sa'yo, no, that's fine. Ngayon, kung wala kang resources, okay, kung ayaw mo rin, alam mong victim ka ng injustice, exercise that option within your means.
Would you have been successful in hiding had you not been in a position of influence, Senator?
Fair game eh. Kasi yung mga pulis inutusan under President Arroyo, di ba? Yung appointment ng mga generals, siya naman nag-a-appoint eh. Maraming mga nalaman ko, opportunistic eh. You know, I'm reminded, somebody said a long time ago, there are two kinds of friends in this world. The jealous, yung envier, yung envious, no? They drop out on your way up. The opportunistic ones, they drop out on your way down. Ako, yan ang na-experience ko. But then, there is that third rare kind. Yun yung talagang true friends na talagang they'll be there for you through thick and thin. Yan ang aking lesson. Ano? Alam ko ngayon kung sino yung mga talagang totoong kaibigan. And I hope you won't experience this, Carmina. No, I just hope and pray na huwag niyong maranasan yung naranasan ko. Kasi masakit yung nakita mo yung dati mong kaibigan, akala mong tunay mong kaibigan, sila pa yung magpe-persecute, sila pa yung iiwas, sila pa yung para kang may leprosy. Naranasan ko lahat yan, Carmina.
Senator, your roots are in intelligence gathering. If you had conducted surveillance on someone with your kind of past, would you vote that person into office and why?
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
If your roots are in intelligence gathering, dun ho kayo nag-umpisa. If you had conducted surveillance on someone with your kind of past, would you vote that person into office and why?
If he's been proven innocent, at tapos subject lang ng persecution, maawa pa ako sa kanya, iboboto ko siya.
Senator, would you vote someone who has blood on their hands?
With blood, depende kung ano yung blood on their hands. Kung in self-defense or in defense of a stranger, in defense of his men while conducting a raid, why would I not vote for him? Pero kung blood in their hands, no, deliberate, tapos ginamit sa pag-abuso, not only blood in their hands, literally, no? Pag sinabi yung blood in their hands, kasama doon yung pagnanakaw sa kaba ng bayan, that's blood in their hands. Why would I vote for him? I would not.
Senator, you said the first 6 months of martial law were good. How can you say that, even knowing that even before the declaration, people legitimately dissenting were thought to be enemies of the state and were already being rounded up?
No. First 6 months, I was a second lieutenant because I graduated in 1971, September 1972, yung martial law. I was an assistant intelligence officer doon sa central sector ng Metrocom. Hindi pa to MISG. You know? I was assigned in MISG much later. Ako yung, alam mo, intelligence and investigation. Ako yung assistant doon. Ang dating boss ko doon, si Major Jimenez, Adam Jimenez. Now, alam mo ba na zero ang crime for the longest time, for so many months? The first time na nagkaroon ng report, yung complaint sa office namin, away ng kapitbahay. Talagang tahimik, nawala pati yung mga standby sa kalsada. Tumino ang mga Pilipino. But you know, after 6 months, nakita ko na nag-deteriorate. Kasi, you know, pumasok na yung abuso. Kasi binigyan ng kapangyarihan ng authority, almost blanket, yung mga generals. Ano? Na yeah. Sila nalang basta iseseros yung aso. Alam mo yung aso? Yung search and seizure order. Arrest, yeah. Search and seizure order, aso. Alam mo yun, Carmina? Sineserox na lang. Tapos sineserve. And minsan, ginagamit na weapon pang extort.
Mm-hmm.
So sumama na sumama. Alam mo, kung na-maintain lang yung first 6 months of martial law, ideal sana. Kasi disiplinado mga Pilipino. Alam mo noon, pagka kami nagpapatrulya, halimbawa sa Cubao, parang appreciated ng mga tao. Papasok kami sa isang, maski maliit lang restaurant, ayaw nga magpabayad noong may-ari na restaurant. But we declined, sabi namin, hindi po. Babayaran po namin kinain namin. I saw it, you know, yung sincere at saka yung genuineness, sincerity at saka genuineness na nag-o-offer. Kasi alam nila, they were safe. They were protected by authorities. But you know, sabi ko nga, alam ko eh.
Yeah, how can you be sure that that was what they were feeling and it wasn't fear?
I know how to look at people, Carmina. Sa tagal pa naman ng pag-iimbestiga ko, sa tagal ko sa intelligence, more or less alam ko kung niloloko ako. Alam ko kung plastic yung pagharap sa akin. Kaya nga successful ako pag nag-iimbestiga kami sa Senate eh. Alam ko sino yung resource person na, you know, pinapaikot lang ako. Hindi ko yung tinatanggap.
Senator, I want to go to Twitter user EIC versus fascism. What he said he was asking actually about why you lied about your role during a recent interview and about the claims or the errors that Alfred McCoy wrote. Did you lie, Mr. Senator, in that interview about your role during the martial law period?
I did not. Totoo lahat yung sinabi ko. Ang hawak ko sa MISG, Police Intelligence Branch. Nalamp kasi to all together kung ano yung role ng MISG. Meron kaming security branch. Yun ang nagdi-deal sa mga security issues, mga crimes against national security. Ang hawak ko po, Police Intelligence Branch. I was dealing with kidnap or ransom gangs, robbery holdups, drugs, and the likes. Ano? So, yun ang aking hawak. So why would I get involved in torturing? Mali yung kay Alfred McCoy.
But did you know, Mr. Senator, that torture was already happening? And what did you do about it?
Well, what did I do if torture was happening? Nasaan yung torture na nakita ko? Was I present when somebody was being tortured?
Did you hear about it, though? Did you know that was happening?
We were hearing stories of torture. Pero it's not for me to investigate. There's another unit in the AFP at the time, in the PC at the time, na dapat mag-imbisiga noon.
All right. In 1999...
I was just a first lieutenant, Carmina. Nandun na, kung CPNP ako noon, Chief PC ako noon, meron ako magagawa kung meron na torture or kung ako yung Metrocom commander. I wouldn't allow it. I would investigate. But I was just a second first lieutenant, even captain.
But in 1999 to 2001, Mr. Senator, you were already PNP chief. And during that time, summary executions by the Davao Death Squad were already being reported. What did you do then?
Well, it was the third at the time, ano, in Davao. I had the Senator Bato de la Rosa, who was heading the task group Mindanao at the time. I wasn't receiving those reports.
You weren't receiving those reports?
I wasn't receiving. Lumabas lang naman yung Davao Death Squad ng presidente na si President Duterte. Binabato sa kanya. But before that, well, especially in 1999 and 2001, maski sa news report, wala naman ako nababasa nun eh, na mayroong Davao Death Squad. Never heard.
What about intelligence reports?
Well, I don't remember reading an intelligence report involving President Duterte or Mayor Duterte at that time. First time natin na rin yung DDS nung nag-iimbestiga na kami sa Senate. So it's not on me, Carmina. I was busy cleansing the police. I was busy reforming the police. I was busy eliminating the cotton culture of my policemen. I was busy disciplining them. I was busy with their physical appearance, with their physical exercises, their well-being.
Senator, it took a Netflix movie to change your stand about the death penalty law, that many innocents could die. You were a police officer for many years. How could you not know this, that many are behind bars, not because they're guilty, but because they were either framed up or even because of their circumstances? How does that not show that you're not sensitive to what is really happening on the ground?
I did not become more conscious until I saw that movie. In fact, when I was CPNP, I was advocating that the restoration of death penalty, even in my first term or even second term. Ano? Nag-author nga ako eh, na ma-restore yung death penalty. But then, sometimes in a person's life, dumarating yung, di ba, meron kang awakening, para bang all of a sudden, a certain event, one event can change your outlook. Hindi naman ako lang yung ganun eh. Maraming mga nakakaranas na in one particular, you know, even in a snap of a finger, ma-realize mo na, oh nga pala, no? Kasi very vivid yun eh. Imagine setting himself up, the anti-death penalty siya, advocate siya. Talagang supreme sacrifice. He set himself up to be convicted, no? By, you know, pretending that there's evidence, strong evidence. And he was convicted. And he was executed. Kung ako na-realize, Carmina, masama bang ma-realize mo? Yun ang masama, na-realize mo na nga, oops, eto very vivid. Ano? Kasi ano to eh, parang inspired by a true story, no? Yung movie. Yeah. So parang inisip ko, oh nga no, masama bang magbago ng isip, Carmina? I don't think so. Mas maganda nga yun. Ako, I will admire a person na pagka na-awaken siya sa, because of just one event or one, you know, nangyari sa buhay niya, ako, I will admire that person. Kesa doon sa very stubborn, alam ng mali. Na-realize niya ng mali. Hindi, kasi itong, alam mo, ito, Carmina, no? Hindi ikaw, but there's some media, even social media persons. Anong nangyari doon kay Robert Home? Kasi nakausap ko siya eh. Nung Sunday lang, pinuntahan ko siya kasi naawa ako. He was the subject of not only ridicule but threats through social media. Sabi niya, anong kasalanan ko? Nag-file lang ako ng kaso kasi nanakawan ako ng mangga. Hindi nga sa kanya yung mangga. Sabi niya, pareho lang stature namin sa buhay. Ang status namin ni Lolo Narding. Kasi siya, truck driver, nawala siya nahanap buhay. Hindi nakapagtrabaho ng isang buwan kasi nagtago. Kasi tinitreten siya, hahanapin kita. So sabi ko, dahil mayroong mga members din ng media, just because yun na yung angulo nila, ayaw na nilang palitan. Kaya ako, I'm very, you know, I'm very appreciative of the Philippine Daily Inquirer. Kaya natras ko yung demanda against them, yung libel.
Apo.
Nag-file ako sa kanila. Pero nung sinabi nila, can we talk, sabi ko, ang request ko lang, never mind the damages. Kasi siyempre, meron diyang filing fee, di ba? Na kailangan mabawi. At saka 20 million damages yung sinisingil ko. Sabi ko, never mind that. Just give me back my dignity and that's it. Ang offer nila sa akin noon, sige, bigyan ka namin ng anong news story ang gusto mo, ilagay namin above the fold. No, sabi ko. Maski itabi nyo sa obituary section or page, bigyan nyo lang ako ng ganong, ibalik yung dignity ko, mag-apologize lang kayo, sufficient enough for me. And they did. That's why I'm very appreciative.
Senator,
no matter how much damage they did. Kasi lagi akong banner sa Inquirer noon. Ang reason nila, somebody told me from Inquirer. Kasi bumenta dyaryo namin pag ikaw ang banner.
Senator, kanina po na pag-uusapan natin yung training nyo as a police officer. That's in your DNA already. The training to follow orders, to follow the chain of command. Have you ever defied an order given to you, Mr. Senator? And what was that order? And was it worthy? Was it worth it?
It was worth it, yeah. Kung alam kong mali, ba't ko susundot? You know, ang aming exposure, ang training ng CPMA, basic lang eh. He who has not learned to obey is not fit to command. Yun ang basic. Pero kung inyong utos sa'yo ng iyong superior ay illegal at sa tingin mo mali, teka muna. Pag-isipan ko muna yan.
Ano pong order yon? Ano pong order ang sinuway ninyo?
Well, earlier on, I mentioned this kay Boyan na Abunda. Ang May of 1998, kapapanalo lamang ni President Erap. No? Kasi nung Vice President siya, magkasama kami sa PACC. And in fairness to him, ano, I saw the noblest of intentions na gusto niya magpresidente because gusto niyang iangat yung buhay ng mga mahirap. And then nung nanalo na siya, still, I would not question because yung intention niya pa rin, yung end state na gusto niya mangyari, maganda pa rin. Sabi sa akin, General, alam mo, maraming tumulong sa atin, mga mayors, mga governors. Ako, meron akong PSF, yung Presidential Social Fund. Sila wala. Ang inaasahan lang na mga yan, alam niya kasi galing siyang mayor eh. Yung kung ano yung nanggagaling sa wedding, sabihin natin lagay, yan ang pinatutulong nila sa mahihirap. Pinabibili ng bigas, ng kung ano yung may nasunugan, pinatutulong. Kaya ang iniisip ko, sabi niya, tulungan na lang natin. Let's turn a blind eye, sabi niya. Tolerate na lang natin yung wedding. Sabi ko, sir, presidente ka na, palagay ko marami ka pa rin maitutulong sa mga mayors na tumulong sa iyo. Yan sir, illegal yan. Sabi ko pa nga, larong lupa yan sir, sasabog tayo dyan. In-explain ko pa in detail. Bakit sir, sabi ko. Siyempre mag-aapon siya ng inkargador. Yung inkargador, kakausapin niya mga operators. Oy, clear tayo sa Malacanang. Yung operators, kakausapin yung mga kabo. Huwag kayong mag-alala, clear tayo sa Malacanang. Yung kabo, pati yung mananaya sa wedding. Huwag kayong mag-alala, open tayo. Hindi ba sir, ano yan? Hindi mo maililihim yan, sasabog ka dyan sir. And you know, as it happened, prophetic ka eh. Heady heeded my advice at the time. Not advice really, but you know, it was just a statement just to express my opinion, my view. Kung sinunod niya, baka hindi siya na-etsados. Because doon nagsimula, di ba? Alam naman natin lahat eh. Saan ba nagsimula yung downfall? Sayang.
Mr. Senator, we're going to talk more about your relationship with former President Joseph Estrada when we come back after this break. We're going to take a break now. More of our interview with presidential candidate Senator Pangilo Lacsa after these. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We're back with presidential candidate Senator Pangilo Lacsa. Senator, while other candidates have said that their life is an open book, yours is not. People don't know who your friends are, your inner circle. Who do you listen to? Whose counsel do you seek?
Counsel? Mostly from my staff. Kasi I'm very comfortable with them. No? For all the years that I worked with them, no? Very efficient, saka very competent. Saka they know me.
Wala po kayong kaibigan?
Meron ako mga kaibigan, of course. No? Yung mga dating nakasama ko sa PNP, my classmates in the PNP, yan, marami naman. Pero ang talagang kasi yung day in day out na activities, ang kasama ko talaga yung mga Senate staff ko eh. Eh since 2001, most of them have been with me already.
But how is that not functioning in an echo chamber? You seek their counsel, but you're also their boss.
Ah, hindi. When I'm especially when I'm in a good mood, hindi ako yung boss nila, no. They know me more than any, probably even more than my friends, you know.
Throughout your political career, Mr. Senator, what role has your wife, Alice DePeria, played?
Wala. Nung nag-CPNP ako, diyan ka lang sa bahay, huwag kang makikialam.
Bakit po?
Alam mo, pag nakialam yung pamilya, minsan dyan nagkakaroon ng problema, di ba? So very seldom, ano? Very seldom na talagang nakikita. Pagka meron lang opening ng Congress, yung last two or three openings nga ng Congress, hindi nga siya nagpupunta na eh.
Diyan ka lang sa bahay, Mr. Senator, that's what you said.
Hindi naman literal yung sinabi ko. Ibig sabihin, huwag ka makialam sa trabaho ko kasi baka masira yung kamada. Kasi di ba, alam naman natin eh, even in the past, pag nakialam yung kamag-anak, pag nakialam yung pamilya sa official na trabaho ng isang public official, minsan, diyan nagkakaroon ng mga compromises because, you know, kaya nga sabi ko, nabanggit ko, no, I've tasted power and I know how to handle power. Nag-GPNP ako, ang daming opportunities, ang daming temptations. No? I also want to protect my wife from yung mga...
Senator, pero pwede din pong maging katuwang ang inyong asawa sa inyong political career.
Tama na yung moral support. Sufficient na sa akin yun. I also want to protect her from opportunist kasi hindi maiiwasan, di ba? Pagka nasa position ka ng power, nagdadatingan yung maraming kaibigan, maraming kamag-anak. Eh minsan, di ba, hindi naman, lahat naman tayo, tao lang eh. At saka minsan, hindi naman naintindihan kung ano yung, ako particular, kung ano yung position ko pagdating sa aking mga tauhan. Kasi ako, Carmina, no, open book ito eh. I have always led by example. Maski nung hindi pa ako chief PNP, alam na mga tauhan ko yan. Kasi naniniwala ako. Unang-una, that's a leadership principle that we learned in the PMA. You know? And all these schoolings, military schoolings na meron kami. No, kasi pagka wala kang, hindi ka makalead by example, walang susunod sa'yo, wala kang moral ascendancy over your people. That's very important. Because pag nag-double speak ka,
Yeah, Senator, sorry, but we're running out of time. Still a host of questions to ask you. Should you win as president, what kind of first lady will Alice DePeria be?
Well, pang-ceremonial, first lady, yung role, usually, wala yung mga head ng foundation, pagkatapos, much less, hindi po pwedeng meron pakialam sa governance. talaga masisira. Hindi pa ako makaka-focus. Kasi siyempre, no, let's face it, ano? Tayo naman, di ba minsan, ang sumisira, you know, parang yung the person that can make or unmake you, yung mga malalapit sa iyo, di ba? Pero, you know, mas mainam na yung limited na lang kung ano yung role halimbawa ng First Lady. Yun na, at saka payag naman siya dun eh. Ayaw naman niya eh. Mm.
Senator, you once said that you owe what you are now to former President Joseph Estrada, but you also delivered a scathing speech about the former president prior to the 2010 elections. And then after, you also said that you wanted to make peace with him. Where does your relationship with the former president now stand?
Yeah, he's still a friend. No? The last time that we saw each other, sa isang wedding, ano? I think sa Manila Cathedral, magkatabi kami kasi pareho kaming ninong. Doon, nagkakwentuhan kami. In fact, I think this was in 2018 or 2017. Sabi niya pa nga sa akin, oh, magaganda yung mga ginagawa mo sa Senate. Kaya ano, ipagpatuloy mo kasi baka pwede ka ulit. Yung ganun, alam mo, the usual. Alam mo, si President Erat, no, yung simula nagkasama kami nung Vice President siya, yung goodness in his heart, ano, talagang nandun eh, parang inborn sa kanya. Alam mo yan, maski sa hapagkainan, hindi yan magsisimulang kumain o mag-serve doon sa kanyang plato hanggang hindi napapakain lahat. Titingnan niya talaga. Talagang ganun siya. Ano sa kanya? Natural, hindi plastic. Ha? Ginagawa niya talaga. And you should ask people who are also close to him. Ano? Kaya yung mga cabinet secretaries niya, no? Hanggang ngayon, malapit sa kanya.
No? But Senator, yeah, Senator, you also said in a recent interview that you admire for the late President Noynoy Aquino. You said he is not corrupt. But didn't you also rise up against his administration over the Priority Development Assistance Fund, over the Disbursement Acceleration Program? To some people, your actions then and actions now don't seem to reconcile. No. How is this not two-faced? Sabi po ng iba, walang utang na loob. Sabi pa ng iba, walang isang salita. How does this not show that? What does this say about your character, Mr. Senator?
Yun ang siguro mga troll, ano? Alam mo, I worked with President Pinoy, ano? And yung DAP na issue, on principle, tinayuan ko yon because involved ako dun eh. Meaning, against pork barrel ako, eto na nga yung sinasabi ko na masama yung PDAP pag inabuso. Pero alam mo, si President Pinoy, hindi naman siya directly involved eh. At saka ang pagkakilala ko sa kanya because I worked with him for 14 months doon sa Yolanda Rehabilitation. I was attending cabinet meetings. Tapos up close, minsan on the side, nagkakausap pa kami. And you can see in him na talagang wala siyang plano na mangurakot. That's where I'm coming from. Ano? Now, I even called him out to sa mama sa panahon, di ba? Na yung mga isyong ganun. Kasi sa akin, ang personal credo ko, Carmina, no? Friends or not friends, what is right must be kept right. What is wrong must be set right. Doon lang ako lagi. Kaya pagkamalan ako, nagbibintangan ako ng mga yung mga kapanalig ni Lenny yung sa mga yellow. Sabi lang, balimbing daw ako kasi minsan pinupuri ko si President Duterte, minsan naman hindi. Sabi ko, colorblind ako sa politics. I stick to my personal credo for the longest time. Ang tama ipaglaban, ang mali labanan. Masama ba yun?
Mr. Senator, what do you say to those who fear that should you win, you will turn the Philippines into a police state?
No, far from it. Kasi ako ang advocacy ko talaga, ang vision ko sa ating country, yung bang makita yung Pilipino na feeling proud, nakataas yung noo, at bumalik yung tiwala sa gobyerno. Kasi for the longest time, dahil na rin sa kagagawa ng gobyerno, mga taong gobyerno, nawala yung tiwala na yon, nawala yung respeto. And it's something that government or government people cannot earn, I cannot demand. It can only be earned through good governance. Diba paulit-ulit ako, the number one problem of this country is government. And the solution is government. Everything starts and ends with government.
Mr. Senator, we're now going to talk about your plans for the country. Before you now are six images, six topics. You get to decide which topic you want to discuss first. And your first choice is?
I can't see it.
There's pandemic, there's Marcos, education, climate change, crime and corruption, or foreign policy. Which would you like to discuss first?
My favorite is crime and corruption.
All right. How would you rate President Duterte's handling of crime in the country?
Handling of crime, especially sa illegal drugs, no, medyo short sa expectation because he ran on that platform and he won on that platform. Unfortunately, yung siguro, ako, I do not question his sincerity. I do not question his eagerness. Gusto niya talagang tapusin. That's why he imposed even a nagkaroon pa siya ng self-imposed deadline. And he admitted during the last SONA, he didn't realize na ganun pala yung enormity ng problem. So, doon, nag-short because he focused more on law enforcement. No, yung mga police naman, naging over-eager, nag-resort na sa extrajudicial means kasi gusto magkaroon ng accomplishment. But you know, there's so many things that change along the way. No, so many things happen. And as it is now, mukhang short sa expectation at siya mismo inamin niya na hindi talaga siya nakakomply doon sa kanyang gusto mangyari sa country. But I would like to emphasize na talagang nandun yung eagerness, yung enthusiasm, yung kanyang motivation. Yeah.
Senator, you mentioned a while ago extrajudicial killings. You said no to that. If you become president, that's not going to happen. But that's a promise that's easy to make. What about killings by vigilante groups, by syndicates? What are you going to do about that?
It's the same, no? Kailangan meron tayong sinusunod na rule of law. No? Everything, lahat ng endeavors, especially sa law enforcement, dapat mag-boil down sa rule of law. No? Hindi po pwede yung i-violate mo yung human rights ng mga tao just to accomplish your mission.
President Duterte is being investigated for crimes against humanity by the ICC. Should you win, will you hold President Duterte accountable and for what?
Well, yung ICC, di ba, nagsuspend, no? Because ako, ganito, I will allow na pumasok yung ICC rito, but there's a qualifier. And this is, you know, we call it the principle of complementarity. As long as the ICC will abide by the principle of complementarity, meaning, kung nag-fail yung ating justice system in running after, say, President Duterte, or kung sino may mga police officials na iniimbisigahan, then papasukin yung ICC because I always consider the ICC as the court of the powerless. Mm-hmm. But then if meron silang sinusunod din yung yan sinasabi ko sa complementarity, no? Kung merong ginagawa, I also issued this statement a long time ago when we were already investigating yung mga EJK, yung mga nag-appear sa amin. Ano? Mm-hmm. And I think at that time, even at the time when Kian De Los Santos was killed by policemen, di ba na-convict na yon? So it seems that, you know, yung criminal justice system natin related to the fight against illegal drugs, nag-work. Pero all kung right, iba ang tingin ng ICC at nakaka-comply sila sa principle of complementarity and they want to come in, who am I to prevent them? Kung nakita ko talagang kulang yung ginawa ng government to render justice to the victims of EJK.
Let's bring back the images. What do you want to discuss next? Pandemic, Marcos, education, climate change, or foreign policy?
Maski ano, pandemic na lang muna.
Pandemic. All right. What do you think is the biggest inequality that was exposed and exacerbated by this pandemic, and what are you going to do about it, Mr. Senator?
Well, nawala yung pagiging proactive. Ano? Earlier on, di ba, yung Wuhan couple, dumating dito, tinanong namin sa hearing, kukunti naman yung pasahero ng aeroplano, ano ba yung i-contact tracing mo lahat para ma-isolate. Diyan nga nagsimulang kumalat yung pandemic. 17% lang yung kanilang, then sa purchase ng vaccines. Bakit mo yung over-regulate yung business sector na gustong bumili on their own, spending their own money, their CSRs, para sa kanilang mga staff, mga employees? Pinahirapan pa. That's the problem of government. They always treat the business sector as their competitor. Sa akin, hindi ganun ang pananaw ko. Let's treat them as our partners.
All right.
Ako
na po yung pipili. Okay lang po ba?
Sige, okay lang.
Climate change, Mr. Senator. The world is in a climate emergency and the Philippines is one of the most vulnerable nations to climate change. What are your plans to protect the country from getting lost in the climate crisis, Mr. Senator?
First, the facts. Ano? Number 4 tayo out of 180 countries na vulnerable, pinaka-vulnerable sa mga disasters brought about by climate change. Now, we're a very small country. 0.3% ka lang yung parang contribution natin do sa yung greenhouse, yung emission, carbon emission. And we're bound to lose about 500 billion pesos in the next 10 years because of that vulnerability. Odette, Yolanda, lahat, ano? So ang solution is, you know, no matter how small our contribution do sa gas emissions, because parang in the next 50 years, pag hindi tayo kumilos, yung buong mundo for that matter, ano? Eh, wala na tayong earth na pag-uusapan. Parang finish na tayong lahat. So dapat we continue to call out the more industrialized, the more powerful countries. Mabuti nangyari sa Glasgow. And then in our own small way, let's begin with government facilities. Mag-contribute tayo para mabawasan yung greenhouse carbon emission.
Okay.
Napakaliit ng ating contribution, pero gumawa na lang tayo ng kaya nating gawin para makakontribute instead ng makapag-aggravate.
Mr. Senator, what's more important to you now, that you win or that Marcos is prevented from occupying Malacañang?
I don't look at my opponents. Alam mo, hindi naman sila yung mga kalaban namin eh. Lagi kami, pag nag-uusap kami ni Senate President Soto, ang kalaban natin, pandemic, kahirapan, joblessness, corruption,
but
crime.
He's become a campaign issue on his own, Mr. Senator.
No, I don't look at them as my enemies. I look at issues as our common enemies, which I enumerated earlier. Yun ang ating tingnan. Kasi pag nag-focus tayo, unlike other candidates, at least one candidate, tumatakbo lamang kasi asar siya sa isang kandidato. Hindi po ako yon. Tumatakbo ako kasi yung pinaghatian namin between us, more than 80 years in public service, executive, legislative, kami dalawa ni Senate President. Ako, 50 years. Tatanggap ka ako ng Lifetime Achievement Award sa PMA sa February. Ang tingin ko, parang tama na yung na-contribute ko sa ating society. Pero look, sayang naman siguro yung experience ko, yung track record ko. I'm always proud of my track record, ano? My integrity, yung aking competence. No? Hindi naman sa pagbubuhat ng sariling bangko, pero I know myself. I know my limits.
And I know I'm sorry to cut you there, Mr. Senator. I want to talk about foreign policy before you wrap up this interview. President Duterte's independent foreign policy was welcomed by many in the beginning until it turned out to be a pivot to China. How will your foreign policy look like?
That's in the Constitution. Ang pinuporsyon natin lagi, independent foreign policy. We should be friendly, or yung diplomatic relations with other countries, kailangan i-maintain natin. But, you know, pag-usaping West Philippine Sea, siyempre, national interest, Filipino first, yung tao, yung bayan muna natin. So while merong irritant between China and the Philippines, except of course, kasi naging friendly masyado yung administration, to a point na 1,500 fishermen sa West Philippine Sea na umaasa doon, wala na ayaw nang bumalik. So tatlong issues, ano? National security, economic security, food security, lahat equally important. Yun ang nawala sa atin sa West Philippine Sea. Kaya nga, you know, I cannot imagine for the life of me na mag-i-import tayo ng galunggong. Di ba galunggong, 4 months, ano yan eh? 4 months fish. Tapos kaya mag-i-import tayo ng galunggong.
Yeah, Senator, I'm just going to ask you one more thing, a follow-up to your position on climate change. Malampaya, that deal has been in the headlines lately. What do you think about it? Does it serve the national interest?
Yes. Yung Malampaya? Preview ako doon sa ginawang hearing ni Senator Gatchalian. Ang daming problema. Ang daming questionable na sabihin nating hindi natin nakita, but you know, yung deals na ginawa nila na talagang dapat imbisigahan. Get to the bottom of it at i-correct, i-rectify. Kasi kung onerous, disadvantageous to our country, to the government, then by all means, gawa tayo ng within the legal framework, gawa natin ang paraan na huwag matuloy. Ano?
Senator,
it can only happen through an investigation.
All right, Senator Lacson, we reached the end of the interview, but before we let you go, some rapid-fire questions, quick answers, first thought that comes to mind. Here we go, Mr. Senator. Last book you read?
Hindi ko makita.
Last book you read?
Lee Kuan Yew, yung volume niya.
Last text message you sent or phone call you made?
Stay safe. Yung lagi, yun most common na pinapadala ko sa mga kaibigan.
Kanino po pinadala?
Marami ko na padalan, pero one of those that I sent that kind of message kay Renato Constantino.
What's your playlist like?
My playlist? varied eh. Yung walang definite kung ano yung makagawian.
You're a Hoops fan. Let's talk about that. Let's begin with local, Toyota or Ginebra?
Dati ako Ginebra eh. Pero hindi na ako, naging NBA na lang ako eh.
Pag NBA po, Michael Jackson tuloy, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant or LeBron James?
Dalawa, si Michael Jordan at saka si LeBron James. Kinusundan ko sila maski anong team puntahan nila, lumilipat ako ng team na paborito.
Sinigang or Sinampalukan?
Sinampalukan manok na native.
Last show you streamed or binge-watched?
I cannot recall anymore.
Well, speaking of shows, you pick one. Designated Survivor, which you said inspired one of your bills, or The Life of David Gale, the now talked about film on social media, which you said made you change your stand on death penalty.
Well, tatlo. Easily, no? Three or four. Designated Survivor, Outlander, The Life of David Gale, and Sniper.
If Tito Soto is not your running mate, who would it be and why?
Tito Soto.
Walang iba.
Wala nang iba. Kaya ako napatakbo, gawa niya.
And still on the macho block, kabilang po kayo doon, who's the better friend? Greg Onasan? Soto?
Both. Kasama pa nga si Loren doon eh. Kasi at least kami, nagkakaintindihan kami kung ano yung, sa Senate. Ganun eh.
If the need to abolish one agency arises, which one would it be?
Agency that needs to be abolished. Importante lahat eh, para sa akin.
Okay. What do you call politicians who refuse to release or disclose their silence, Mr. Senator?
May tinatago. Ako, I just released my silence pala yesterday. Kasi pinalo pa ako ng kabilang station. Tatlo actually nirelease ko. 2018, 2019, 2020. Hindi lang isa.
So ano pong tawag nyo dun sa mga ayaw i-release ang kanilang mga sal-ends?
Yun nga, dalawang words, may tinatago.
Peace with the rebels, Mr. Senator. Should you win, will you pursue it or attain it?
Earlier, I suggested to localize the peace talks. Ano? Why? Because paikot-ikot lang pagkausap si Joma Season. So, mas practical na i-localize because hindi naman lahat ng probinsya, lahat ng bayan, pare-pareho ang insurgency situation. No? Kasi ganun ang dapat i-pursue natin. Mas alam naman local government. And they adopted it. Kasi I suggested it to former Secretary Duresa and Secretary Bello. Sila yung nag-head ng panel doon sa The Hague. Sabi ko, walang mangyayari sa pag-usap kay Joma. Kasi may agenda yan. Malevolent yung agenda na para makabay ng time. At the same time, nagbibuild up ng forces sa ground. At the same time, it seems that he already lost control. Kasi nagsisispire siya. Tapos yung mga guerrilla, hindi naman nagbabiolate naman ng ceasefire. So I think they adapted it. Nag-localize sila ng peace talks.
Final question, Mr. Senator. You just found out you won the elections. First thought that comes to mind?
The Filipino people.
Senator Pantilo Lacson, thank you for joining us today. Take care and you keep safe. We appreciate you coming to the show.
Thank you very much, Carmina. Stay safe.
Thank you. And next on In Focus, former Defense Secretary Norberto Gonzalez speaks to us about his presidential candidacy. Mr. Gonzalez will be with us next Tuesday, February 1st, here on Dateline Philippines. If you got any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.